Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Parenting Pickup, a podcast simply made to help families with trending topics and so much more. We're positive you will pick up tidbits of helpful tips, tricks, activities, and advice when listening to our podcast. I'm your host, Kara. Hello, we're excited to have Amanda Mason joining us again today. Amanda is the Early Childhood and Education Mental Health Specialist here at New Horizon Academy, and she supports teachers and families. Welcome, Amanda.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you about hitting, because I think there's nothing that makes a parent second guess themselves more than their child hitting. I think they start thinking about, did I do something wrong? Is it my fault? Why do children hit?
That's such a great question. And truly, children may hit for a variety of reasons or to accomplish a variety of goals. All behavior is communication, including hitting. So it can be helpful to sometimes ask ourselves, what do we think this child is trying to communicate to me? Sometimes it's truly about a curiosity, sort of like a cause and effect. If I hit you, what will happen next? What will you do? How will it feel? Or it could also be out of creating a connection. They might be curious about getting your attention or wanting to make a connection with you. Even though it can result in negative attention, hitting still gets attention, unfortunately.
That's a really good point. I mean, you're right. There's nothing more powerful. You hit someone, there's a huge reaction from the parent or another child, and it You're right. I never thought of it that way, but it gets a huge reaction.
Totally. Again, and especially if it's about connection or wanting to get your attention, we can unintentionally sort of reinforce it when we respond in ways, we're in the moment in a way we're responding sort of out of our maybe a gut instinct or responding out of frustration. But we'll get into some strategies later on too of how we can maybe respond in a way that's a little bit more calm and composed.
That's great, because I think that's the hard part. When your child hits you, you're not expecting that. Or if you see your child hit another child, it's alarming. And you give a huge reaction like, oh my gosh, what just happened? Why did that happen? So that's great. I think all parents need that support. So why would you say, what are the different reasons why a child hits?
Children can also hit to be, sometimes it's about silliness. So again, maybe it's about connection or attention, which you just talked about, but it can also be about just being silly. Maybe they're meaning to be playful, or they don't realize that their intent of playfulness does not align with the hurtful or unexpected impact of their hitting. Children hit when they're experiencing a big feeling, such as anger or disappointment. Those are generally more obvious feelings that we may tend to associate with hitting, or it's easier for us to make the connection between being angry or upset and hitting. Excitement can also be a big feeling. It's almost as if the child is saying, my feeling is so big and I don't know what to do with it. I've got to do something and hitting is it. Think of an audience at a sporting event. When their team misses a goal or a catch, they might throw their arms down or out in frustration. Or when their team earns a point, they do the opposite. They throw their arms up in excitement. It's like this with children too. Their arms can sort of be the outward expressions of their feelings. Children might also hit to communicate a need for personal space, or that they don't like something that's happening, or that they're worried or feeling protective. Imagine a child building a tall tower of blocks. If a peer comes too close and they're worried their tower might get knocked over, hitting can be an effective, quick way to communicate, back off, I need space. Or imagine an adult leaning down to say hi to a child, even if their intent is good. If the adult leans down too quickly, or gets too close, the child may hit the adult to regain their personal space or to express their worry at the sudden intrusion. Another thing is just to overall keep in mind the child's state of regulation. If a child is sick, hungry, tired, or stressed, hitting may become more likely. Even for a child who seems usually to use safer or more expected behavior, stressful events can include moving, transitioning classrooms, new siblings, changes in family members or structures, i.e. meeting a parent's new partner or having a relative move into or out of the house. Could also be something really significant like a death in the family, community violence, or stress, and even the stress that we as experience as caregivers.
Wow, that's amazing. I think there's so much to unpack there. Thinking about personal space, I had a child who, now that I reflect back, when they were a toddler, hit when people got in their space. That actually people were trying to be kind, but they would hit because I think someone was in their personal space. And I never thought of it that way before. I think it's helpful to know, you know, why children hit. And kind of now that we know those different reasons about why a child hits, does this change with age? Like, how does it impact a toddler?
Yeah. So the reason a child is hitting can vary by age, although all of the examples we just discussed still can apply to a child at any age. When we're thinking about toddlers, they're just beginning to use their expressive communication skills. They're still learning to, quote unquote, use their words. Toddlers are also very easily stressed and overwhelmed by their big feelings. This combination of emerging, verbally expressive language and frequent dysregulation can result in hitting. Preschool age kiddos, on the other hand, may have more communication skills and social emotional skills than they did in their toddler years, yet moments still occur when preschoolers can't access the skills they know. When they're challenged with a social problem with a peer, or stressed, or experiencing distress over a miscommunication, preschoolers still can't access those higher level social thinking skills, even if they're sometimes capable of those in a more regulated moment.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense. Just thinking about each age group and their skill set and how it develops over time. I mean, what I hear you saying is that it's natural. It's developmentally appropriate. It's part of the way that they learn.
Yeah, it definitely can be. And it's also helpful to think, again, if we're thinking about personal space, kiddos like to have about 12 inches of personal space. And so again, even if our intent is good, if you're getting too close to a kiddo and maybe we're being playful or playing a game of peekaboo, if you just get too close, if you get within those 12 inches, they may hit.
Right. That is just fascinating to think about, how that's their way of kind of protecting that personal space. And again, they're just kind of learning. So then what should we do as parents? So if I have a child that's hitting, maybe it's because of feelings or a big reaction or lack of sleep, because that does happen with young children. Like, please give us some advice about what should we do as parents when we see that behavior.
Yeah, so when you see your child hit, or when your child hits you, or if your child's teacher reports to you that your child is hitting, try not to take it personal. This is easier said than done. In fact, it's probably the hardest part.
I agree. I think as a parent, I think of my child as a reflection of me. And if my child hits someone, or that if they hit me, it made me think that, oh my gosh, have I failed as a parent? What have I done that made my child think it's okay to hit? Because my husband and I, we don't hit, never hit our children, but yet we've seen that behavior happen with their peers or with their sibling.
Yeah, I have the same stress response. If I'm in a classroom and a child hits me, and I wear glasses, so if a child hits me, and especially if they hit my glasses, it can be really distressing. So not only do we want to try not to take it personal, but we also want to take a quick second to compose ourselves. This might mean taking a deep breath or considering a grounding mantra. Reassure yourself that you can handle this. Mentally note your response, or mentally note what's coming up for you. Like you said, maybe it is, there's a script in your head that says, have I failed as a parent? You might wonder, oh no, is my kid the mean kid? Are they a bully? Am I a bad parent? What's wrong with my child? What do people think of me and my child? Or maybe even, I can't believe this is happening. This doesn't sound like my child. Once you regain your composure, then you can determine what next steps will fit best, depending on why you think the child is hitting or what communication they've been giving you. And keep in mind, it's also okay to reestablish safety or put up an assertive safety boundary. For example, you might block a hit with your body or mindfully move yourself and or the child into a position of safety. Putting up safety boundaries, we can use parallel talk to put up safety boundaries, like, I'm going to stop your body. I'm going to keep it safe. I'm going to stand up to keep myself safe. Or simply saying, stop. That hurts.
That's all wonderful advice. I really liked the mindful movement. I've never thought about that as a parent, about how important it is to be able to move the child away from the situation in a mindful way. I think that's the hardest part. And I like the idea of taking a breath and saying a mantra of some sort to get yourself together, because it is super embarrassing when your child acts out and hits someone or hits you around others. And your immediate thought, or at least my immediate thought, was, what are others thinking? They're thinking, absolutely, I have an out of control child. My child is a bully. Oh my gosh, this is embarrassing. And I think sometimes out of embarrassment as a parent, that makes me overreact more, because I'm embarrassed about what's happening, embarrassed about what I have seen. And so I think really those strategies are really helpful, to kind of take that breath, to have the mantra, to, as you said, kind of figure out why they're doing the hitting.
Yeah, and embarrassment is a really vulnerable feeling to feel. And why, again, that first step of trying not to take it personal is so important, and also so, so hard.
It is so hard. And I think as a parent, again, you think of your child as kind of a reflection of you and your parenting style, and you do take it personal. And as a mom, when my child hit me, I thought, do they not like me? Why would they hit me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's wonderful and helpful advice. Do you have resources that you would recommend, or how families could help prevent their child from hitting?
So when we're thinking about being preventative, again, it kind of gets at the question of what the child is trying to communicate with the hitting. And it also can be helpful to sometimes think about, especially if this is happening within your own house, and especially if your child is hitting, say, a sibling, maybe they're older or younger, especially if the child that is on the receiving end of the hitting, if they have verbal skills, something we can keep in mind that is helpful to be teaching is assertive skills. And so this might look like asking the child who was hit, did you like it? It might seem obvious, and we're hoping that the child says no, but that offers us an opportunity to teach them an assertive skill, because a lot of things are going to come up in their life that they don't like, and we want them to learn to be able to say, stop, I don't like that, and what they want the person to do instead. So for example, this could look like, stop, I don't like it when you hit me, walk around me. Or, I don't like it when you hit me, tap my arm instead. If the child doesn't have verbal skills, it might be easier to just go back to reestablishing those safety boundaries. Another thing we want to be thinking about is, one of the ways that we prevent hitting is by in-the-moment coaching, so that next time they have that desire to hit or that same communication comes up, they have different tools in their toolkit. This might look like following a simple script of naming for the child what they wanted or what they were hoping to have happen, letting them know why they can't do what they did, and then creating a space to teach a new skill. So, for example, if a child hit their younger sibling, maybe it's their infant sibling even, again, that first step of try not to take it personal, compose yourself, establish a safety boundary if you need to, and then say, oh, you wanted to play with them. You didn't know what else to do. You may not hit. Hitting hurts. If you want to play with them, pick up their rattle and shake it for them like this. And then also at the end of that, the way that we continue to really teach those skills and strengthen those skills so that it can become more preventative is by using noticing. So this strengthens all of the skills that you're trying to give the child to use instead of hitting. So even if you have to help them use the new skill, use noticing to call their conscious attention to it. Noticing is just when you non-judgmentally describe what a child is doing, almost like a sports broadcaster. Noticing and encouragement is not the same thing as praise. You're not offering your opinion, whether it's good or bad. It might just sound like, you did it, or good for you. You're doing it. Keep going.
That's great advice. I like the coaching in the moment is incredibly helpful to, as a parent, to role model for your child what they should do and help them learn how to handle that. And then also teaching those assertive skills so that, especially if someone's hitting another child or siblings, that's the experience I had as a parent, is that my older son would often hit my younger son. And I think learning that assertive skill, stop, like you said, I don't like that, walk around me, that's a really helpful advice to be able to teach a child at a young age they can use throughout their whole life.
Yeah, really, both kids benefit from those skills. The child, again, who is using the hitting, benefits from the coaching about what skill they can use instead. And the child who was hit benefits from learning assertive skills.
Most definitely. I think even as adults, we would benefit from that experience.
Totally.
That's great. All right. Well, this has just been fascinating information, Amanda. And I think just so many helpful hints and tips for our families on dealing with this. This is kind of the point in our podcast where we take questions from parents. So we had parents send in some questions. And so I'll read the questions and then hopefully you can troubleshoot and share some of your expert advice with our parents. So Louis had reached out and said, my two-year-old is hitting his peers and adults, and I'm worried he is a bully at school. What should I do?
Great question. So let's pull together everything we've talked about so far. What do we think this child is trying to communicate? He's two, so his verbal communication skills are still coming online. Maybe he needs personal space, maybe he's trying to be playful, or he's just trying to send a message to his peers to leave his toys alone. Connect with this child's teacher to find out more. Remember, try not to take it personal and allow yourself to name your own experience so you can find your composure. Remind yourself that you can handle this. Let's say your child's teacher tells you that he's often hitting when he's feeling crowded or when he's really close to other people. Coaching for this child might sound like, ugh, you didn't have enough room to sit, so you hit. Ouch, hitting hurts. When you need more space, say, move please, and wait for them to move. Or you can scoot your chair like this. Then, when he tries it, even if you have to help him scooch his chair or help him start to use his words, you're going to notice and say, oh, there you go, you're doing it, you're trying to scoot your chair, you got it. Or there you go, you used your words, now you have the space that you need. Remember that little bit of noticing at the end. We really want to notice when he's trying. What we focus on, we get more of.
I think that's so helpful to think and put in perspective. What we focus on, we get more of. So teaching in that moment will help make a big impact. And then as the child develops, they'll develop more language skills and have those words to help reduce the amount of hitting and use words instead.
Yeah, another helpful way to think about it is what we notice or what we focus on with the child is what continues to stay in their toolkit. So if we continue to notice the hitting, that stays in their toolkit. But instead, if we can notice when they scoot their chair or when they try to use their words, that will start to be what's in their toolkit and they'll reach for that more often than the hitting.
That's fabulous and so helpful. I like the toolkit concept. That's an easy thing for me to grasp as a parent and kind of think that I'm building this, I'm giving my child the tools in their kit to help them thrive as a child and then as an adult as they grow through over the years. Thank you. I'm sure Louis will find that helpful with his two-year-old. Then we have Yvette, is another parent, and she said, my daughter will randomly hit me, smile, and then run away frequently. Why is this happening?
Ooh, this one can be really frustrating, especially when they smile at us and we think, oh, they're doing this on purpose, or they know better than this. I can't believe they're doing this again. Again, we want to go back to what we've already talked about, thinking about the communication. What do we think her daughter's trying to communicate? This seems to be about connection or playfulness. She's trying to get your attention. Her smile says, see me, notice me, play with me. Sometimes we might think it's helpful to ignore her in a situation like this because we don't want to reward her for hitting. However, she still needs connection. And thus, she's going to benefit from you responding to her intent rather than the behavior. Again, remember to take a breath and compose yourself, especially if you hear those words pop in your head like, "This she's doing this on purpose," or "she's doing this to make me angry." Again, let yourself take a breath, name those feelings for yourself, or do something that grounds you for a quick second. And especially if it hurts you, that can also be a cue for ourselves to go, ah, my nose hurts, or, you know, my arm hurts where she hit me. Take a breath. When you've got your composure, coaching for this child might sound like, ugh, you wanted my attention, so you hit me. You didn't know what else to do. You may not hit me. Hitting hurts. If you want my attention, tap my arm and say my name. Or maybe you think she's trying to be silly. Instead, coaching might sound like, if you want to be silly with me, try to make a funny face. Let's see a funny face that you could make. There you go. You got it. Now I know what you need. Again, at the end, be sure to encourage and notice that she's trying. Turn on that sports broadcaster lens and focus on what you want her to do more of, or what you wish she would have done instead, or what you want her to do next time.
Wow, what a great way to look at that situation from a different perspective, in terms of thinking about, instead of thinking your child hits you and they're smiling and laughing because they're like, ha ha ha, I hurt you. It really is either playfulness or wanting attention. And I think just that shift in your mind, thinking about how it's not about them trying to hurt you, it's not malicious intent, it's really that attention or playfulness, can just kind of flip the switch on your response.
And again, that part's really hard to do. And that really hinges on, again, not taking it personal and really focusing on our own composure first. Because when we're not composed, you're going to respond out of a more unconscious place. And that's when you're going to say something like, you know better, or she's doing this on purpose. Again, and that's not going to help retool this child's toolkit. Hitting is going to remain the number one skill that they continue to reach for.
Absolutely. I think that advice is a total game changer in just kind of looking at your perspective and your reaction, because I think our reaction as parents triggers the response of children and can either escalate or de-escalate that behavior.
And you don't have to get it right every time. So there's going to be times where you do respond in a way that is, you know, maybe a little unconscious, or you respond from a place of frustration or upset. And again, let yourself breathe and find some composure. You're not a bad parent when that happens. You're just a human being. So reminding yourself, I can try again, or even letting the child know, oh, I got pretty upset back there. Now I'm feeling a little better. I took a breath. Let me try that again.
That I think is so helpful. I think as parents, we need to show ourselves some grace.
Absolutely.
And realize we're not perfect and we won't get it perfect every time. We will make mistakes. We will sometimes overreact, but really just trying to be conscious in that moment is just so very helpful.
Yeah, we get to rebuild our parenting toolkit as we go too.
Oh, that's lovely. That's so nice to hear. I think that's very, very true. That's great. Well, we have a final question from Penny. And Penny says, I have a 7-year-old who hits a friend in class, according to the teacher. And I'm worried that my child is mean or a bully. So what steps should I take to resolve this?
For this one, I would start with connecting more with this child's teacher to learn more about what happened. This was a one-time thing, if this has come up a couple times. And I would also check in with the child. You're probably gonna get two sides. You might get a combination of the two. You might get your child's side and the teacher's side, or again, some mix of the two. Your goal is really to find out more about what led up to the hitting, or what has been leading up to the hitting. This is where we're trying to figure out the communication or the why, so that we can brainstorm ideas with our child and with the teacher so that things can go differently in the future. And also keep in mind those extenuating circumstances, especially with a 7-year-old. So was she tired? Was she hungry? Did she sleep poorly the night before? Was she stressed about a spelling test? Did something shift or change in the classroom? In any case, regardless of your child's age, if their hitting gets worse, always lean on the other professionals in yours and your child's life and consider additional referrals if needed. Your pediatrician, your child's teacher, and therapeutic and or medical professionals like a speech pathologist, an occupational therapist, or play therapist can all be considerations.
I think that's incredibly helpful to think about all the different reasons why a 7-year-old might hit, and I think getting both sides makes a lot of sense. And then also determining, did they get enough sleep? Were they nervous about a spelling test? I think that all makes great sense in kind of figuring out the puzzle of why the child hit, and then also knowing that if it is persistent and the teacher has concerns as well, to reach out to professionals.
Absolutely. And it really allows the child to benefit from our positive intent. We're assuming there's a reason why. We're assuming there's a communication here that we're missing, and they just don't have the skills to communicate it. So again, when we're looking at that broader context, trying to look at all sides of it, we're really helping the child and telling them, we see you and we still care about you. We're going to help you figure this out.
That's wonderful. And I think that's the best advice for parents. We're really helping our children figure this out, and we're helping them build that toolkit as we build our own.
Absolutely.
Oh, Amanda, thank you so much for joining us today. There was so many helpful pieces of information for families, and it's just great to have you on our podcast. And for families, if you want more information on this episode or need access to other resources mentioned, head to our website, www.nhacademy.net. And if you have questions that you want answered, email us at theparentingpickup@nhacademy.net. Thanks again, Amanda.
Thanks for having me.